Matthew Stuckey here, and I want to make a quick video on three myths of Protestants. Three myths on the Protestant religion. And, you know, myth number one is this, that the Protestants were just innocent victims in all of the bloodshed of the last 500 plus years of the religious bloodshed. And so Protestants would have you to believe that there was really only two groups, the Catholics and the Protestants. And the Protestants were just these Bible-believing Christians that were persecuted for the Word of God, just like Stephen in the book of Acts, or characters in the book of Acts as they're going soul-winning. The Catholics were just murdering them. And they have a famous book, The Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a Protestant book. And there's a lot of good information in that book. There's a lot of true information, but it's also very, very misleading. Because of the fact, it's not just that the Catholics were murdering the Protestants, but, you know, the Protestants were murdering other people as well. Not just the Catholics, but there was other groups besides the Catholics and the Protestants, specifically the Anabaptists, and both the Catholics and the Protestants tortured and persecuted and killed the Anabaptists and other groups as well. So basically, once the Protestants had the political power, they did the exact same thing as the Catholics. The only reason why the Catholics, you know, shed more blood than the Protestants is because of the fact, you know, they had more political power. One of the famous cases in history is with Felix Mons and Ulrich Zwingli. Now, Ulrich Zwingli is one of the leading characters during the Protestant Reformation, and truly I believe that his name has been basically lowered and is not as famous, specifically for the fact that, you know, he's very much involved in a case of murder. And so they kind of want to just, you know, take that out of history so people aren't aware of this. But Ulrich Zwingli was basically a contemporary of Martin Luther, and they didn't end up teaming up because of differences, I believe, on the Eucharist and some small little things here and there. But, you know, Ulrich Zwingli, he basically was part of this council in Zurich. And there was this man, Felix Mons, who used to be Protestant, but, you know, he ended up leaving. And he wanted to get baptized as an adult, right? Because the Bible teaches that if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And they go down into the water, they get baptized. Because when you're getting baptized, you're picturing that you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And so that's where we have baptism by immersion after you believe, after salvation. So obviously the infant baptism that was common with the Catholics and Protestants is not biblical. And so he wanted to get baptized biblically. And the result is this, he was given the death penalty by the Protestants for this. And Ulrich Zwingli, who basically wanted his hands to be clean, but yet he could have stepped in and done something. And it was Protestants that shed that blood. And it wasn't just that they killed them by drowning. That was the death penalty. And the reason why was, well, if you're going to get baptized in water, we're going to teach you a lesson by drowning you in water. So just really disgusting, wicked people, torturing and killing people that had different beliefs. And so there was an example right there where they were the ones shedding the blood. You know, if you read Martin Luther and his writings, he taught that the Anabaptists were heretics and deserved the death penalty. Now, he, as far as I know, never carried that out, but that was what he taught, that if basically you're in the position of power, if someone's going to stand against our religion, then they deserve to get the death penalty. You know, there's even the famous hymn called Faith of Our Fathers, and I'm not necessarily against this hymn, but if you know the history of it, it was actually written by Catholics because they said, you know, hey, we're getting persecuted for the things that we believe, just like our Christian fathers from the past also got persecuted. Now, here's the thing about this. There is a bit of truth to that because the Catholics were also brutally murdered by Protestants as well. Now, don't mistake me. The Catholics did a lot more killing than the Protestants, but it's really only because they had more political power. And the Protestants were definitely guilty of this as well. So myth number one when it comes to the Protestants is that they were just these Bible-believing Christians that were just these innocent people spreading the gospel, being persecuted for the cause of Christ. In actuality, they persecuted the ones spreading the gospel as well when they got an opportunity. Another myth of the Protestants is that they're not mentioned in the Bible. You know, a lot of people have this idea, I mean, most people, that the Protestants are never mentioned. But actually, the Bible mentions them in Revelation chapter 17. So Revelation 17, verse 10 says, "And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is," present tense, "five are fallen," past tense, "and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And so the Bible says that five kings are fallen, one is, and one is going to come, basically. And so Revelation 17 and 18 are a little bit confusing. It mentions Babylon, and if you're just kind of reading passively, you might come to the conclusion that it's just the exact same thing being talked about. But when you read carefully, what we saw in Revelation 17:10 is that it says, in one is, which is present tense, okay? Five are fallen, referring to five empires from the past that had power. You had Assyria, you had Egypt, you had Babylon, you had Persia, you had the Macedonian or Greek Empire with Alexander the Great. Then you had the Roman Empire was number six. And when the book of Revelation was written, in the time of the New Testament, Rome was the empire that ruled the world. Then it speaks about a seventh one that has not yet come. So Revelation 18 is going to transition to the future Babylon, which is this world political power, which many people, including myself, believe is probably the United States of America. But the one in Revelation 17 is no doubt referring to, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. You say, what's your point? Well, here's the thing about this. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 5, what it says is this, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So understanding that this Babylon in Revelation 17 is referring to the Roman Empire, because the Roman Catholic Church is just the Roman Empire or Roman paganism mixed with Christianity. It's basically the same religion. They still have the gods. They're just in the forms of saints now. And it says that it's the mother of harlots in Revelation 17, verse 5. So what it's saying is that basically this Roman Empire, this Roman Catholic Church, this political and spiritual institution is basically a whore. That's the terminology given in the Bible, but also that she's the mother of harlots. So basically this empire, this wicked empire, whored around and had harlot children. So the question is, who are those harlot children? Well, one example is the Orthodox. The Orthodox basically splitting off from the Catholic Church with the Great Schism. And, you know, with the Orthodox, you compare them to the Catholic Church, and the Orthodox is very similar to the Catholic Church. Why? Because the Orthodox Church came from their mama, the Roman Empire, right? The great whore mentioned in Revelation 17. But, you know, the other harlot children, because she's the mother of harlots, plural, are other religions that basically broke off from the Catholic Church. And whenever a religion is going to break off, there's going to be a lot of similarities between the new religion that forms and the old religion. And so when it comes to Protestant religion, you've got Martin Luther, who broke off from the Catholic Church, you know, forming the Lutheran Church. You had King Henry VIII, who basically started the Church of England or the Anglican Church, which essentially came to the U.S. as the Episcopalian Church, not just a complete match, but essentially that's what happened. And so you have the Anglicans or Episcopalians, you have the Lutherans, then you have the Presbyterians that came, and not directly from John Calvin, but John Calvin splitting off from the Catholic Church as well. And then down in history, you have the United Methodists, which split off from this Anglican movement. You had the Puritans that came, which are for the most part not really existing anymore, but they came from the Anglican Church as well, splitting off there. And so you have all of these splits from the Roman Catholic Church. Well, all of these new religions, what you're going to find out is they're not really that new, right? The harlot's pretty similar to the whore. And so myth number two is that the Protestants are never mentioned in the Bible, and yet in Revelation 17, we see that they're mentioned. And when you read carefully with Revelation 17, with all of the colors and the description, you're seeing that the Protestants fit this along with their mom, the Roman Catholic Church. So myth number one is quite simply that the Protestants were innocent victims in all of the religious bloodshed of the 500 plus years, last 500 plus years. Well, that's simply not the case. Myth number two is that Protestants are never mentioned in the Bible. They're actually mentioned in Revelation 17. And myth number three, which kind of goes along with myth number two, is that the Protestants were just a brand new religion, right? Now, this is a myth people have, that they are a brand new religion. And it's interesting because the Protestants don't really actually claim to be a new religion. They actually are claiming that they're the old-fashioned Catholic Church, and they believe the Catholic Church used to be right. Now, that's not really what most people that go to Protestant church necessarily think now, but that is what Martin Luther taught, that he believed in the Catholic Church. He believed in the universal church. He just thought that the Catholic Church had gone wrong somewhere along the way. And so people think that they're basically a different religion, and yet they're very, very similar. You know, one example is this. They have this idea, well, the Catholic Church preaches a work salvation, but the Protestants teach by grace through faith, by faith alone, as Martin Luther said. And yet, when you're looking at Protestant churches, they teach that you can lose your salvation. Now, how's that a free gift, right? I mean, if the gift can be taken back, if you have to do good works to keep your salvation, that's not a gift, right? That is a work salvation to say that you can lose your salvation. 1 John 5, verses 10 through 13 talk about that, where you have to believe the record God gave His Son, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. You must believe it's eternal. And not only that, you know, they'll claim it's by grace through faith, and yet they still believe that you have to repent of your sins. They still believe that you have to have works to prove your salvation, or you're not really saved, or you can lose it. I mean, they will believe in Calvinism with many of these Protestant churches, the Lordship salvation, which is basically repentance of sins on steroids. So here's the thing about this. The Protestants don't believe salvation by grace through faith. They believe, just like the Catholic Church, in a work salvation. Not quite as much. The harlot's not as bad as the whore, but the harlot's still pretty bad. Another thing is this, baby baptism. Now, there's no way you could point to a verse in the Bible to justify infant baptism. It's very clear you must believe first, and a baby can't believe. So why are they doing baby baptisms? Well, that's coming from their mom, the great whore. That's the only reason why. This is not a different religion, it's the same religion. You look at the clothing of the clergy or the priests or the ministers, and it's very similar to the Roman Catholic Church. And not only that, I grew up Protestant, and every single week we would say, "We believe in the Holy Catholic Church." And so here's the thing, why would you say you believe in the Holy Catholic Church? Now they would say, well, it's just because Catholic means universal. But here's the thing, they believe in the old-fashioned Catholic religion, this universal religion. It's not a different religion, it's the same thing, just a little bit better. Now, are there some exceptions to this? Are there some Protestant churches out there where maybe the minister is actually saved and somehow he got ordained with some different beliefs? Or are there some saved people in these churches? Of course, but you know, when you look at those actual Protestant religions, they teach a work salvation. There's no question about that. So point one is that the Protestants were just these innocent victims in all this religious bloodshed. That's not true. Point number two is this, that the Protestants are not mentioned in the Bible. That's not true. And point number three is that the Protestants are a different religion than their mom, the Roman Catholic Church, and that's not really true either. Thank you, and God bless.